The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7 is one of the best known sections of Scripture in all of the Bible, especially the first few verses of those of Matthew 5, which are known as the Beatitudes. The word Beatitude is not found in the English Bible, but it is a word that was used in the Vulgate Bible, which is a Latin translation from the late 4th century. It's a word that was used in Romans chapter 4, verse 6, which is a quote of a psalm. We might look at it just quickly. Romans chapter 4, verse 6. Paul here in a completely different context. I just want to note the use of the language here rather than about what he's actually addressing in this passage. But in chapter 4, verse 6, he says, "Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works." Verse 7, he begins quoting from Psalm 32. He says, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man in whom the Lord shall not impute sin." This language was described, where a blessing is described or pronounced in this manner, became known because of the Vulgate translation as a beatitude. There are quite a few blessed are passages in Scripture in addition to those that we find in Matthew chapter 5. For example, in Psalm 41, verse 1, we see the same structure. Psalm 41, verse 1 says, "Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble." The same kind of a blessed are that someone with a particular, the people have a particular attribute or quality or a certain action that God is pleased with. There are examples as well, besides what Christ spoke in the Sermon on the Mount, other examples in the New Testament or in Christ's words. For example, John or Matthew chapter 24, verse 46. We're familiar with this scripture. We may not have thought of it as a beatitude. Matthew 24, verse 46 says, "Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing." That's a blessing pronounced on the person who Christ says is busy doing what he ought to be doing at the time of the return of Jesus Christ. And just as an example, we'll look at one more in John 13, verse 17. John chapter 13, verse 17. At the conclusion here of the foot washing at the Passover service, just before Christ was crucified, Christ says in verse 17 to his disciples, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So the structure which we associate with Matthew 5, the first 8 or 9 verses or so, and we call the Beatitudes, that same kind of statement, that same kind of promise is made in other verses as well. But Matthew 5 is the collection of what we call the Beatitudes. It shows 7 qualities or characteristics, each of which is described as being blessed, or the person who does them is described as being blessed. They each describe an aspect of the character of one who will become part of the kingdom of God. And it's kind of a way of breaking down. Mr. Ball was talking about character in the sermonette. It's a way of breaking down this bigger subject of character into individual aspects or qualities that help us to understand the kind of character that God is looking for in those who will be part of his kingdom. When Matthew organized his version of the gospel, he put these very basic principles as the first teachings that Christ is illustrated as giving about the kingdom of God. Now, in the last couple of months, we've considered the first two of these statements in Matthew 5. We talked about what it means to be poor in spirit, and we've talked about what it means what Christ meant when he said, "Blessed are those who mourn." Well, this afternoon we're going to take a look at another lesson that Jesus Christ taught about the kingdom. This one in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, where Christ, in the next part of the next statement he makes, is, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The title of the sermon is, "Blessed are the meek." The word meek is generally misunderstood. It's a simple word in many ways, and yet it is one that most people do not fully understand. And yet it is an important and fundamental quality of the character of those who will be part of God's kingdom. So it's something for us to pause and to consider more carefully. Most people assume or believe that one who is meek would be a person who is timid, a person who is easily controlled or manipulated by others, a person who is weak, a person who doesn't have a lot of ability or strength to stand up for himself. That's pretty much the way that meekness is defined. There are people, of course, who are like that, and they are in our time, often considered to be meek. Those who have a better understanding of the word meek often assume that it means the same thing as being humble, that being meek and being humble have the same meaning. Well, there is a similarity. There's a bit of a crossover in the definitions of those words, but it is not the same word. That doesn't mean the same thing. Meekness is different from humility. So first of all, let's talk about what meekness is. What does it mean? What does the word itself mean? Meek means to be mild or gentle. It means to have the quality, one who is meek has the qualities of mildness or gentleness in their dealings with other people. In contrast, or as opposed to being harsh. Now, it does sound kind of like a person who is not very strong if he's just mild and gentle in the way that he relates to other people. But meekness is not something that is a sign of weakness. In fact, to have genuine meekness requires a strength of self-discipline and of self-control, so that a person is able to control their reactions and their responses to other people, especially under stress. Meekness is kind of like patience in that it is only evident when there is stress. We've noted before that you can be patient as long as everything is going the way you want it to. But when something doesn't go the way we want, that's when we have to truly express patience. Meekness is the same in some ways, in that the underlying strength of self-control and self-discipline to maintain or to be mild or gentle in times of difficulty or stress, especially in a relationship, that's when we see the strength of one who is meek. It means to have the self-control or discipline to be thoughtful, to be considerate, and to be forgiving in our relationships. Meekness has to do with the way that we relate, the way that we deal with one another. Of course, that's a very important quality to consider, because we're going to be living together as a family for all eternity. And so it is important that we have the kind of character and the kind of approach in our relationships that will allow us to continue to live in the peace and the safety of God's family. Or put another way, someone who was obstinate or difficult or harsh would not have a place in that family. Now, we've all had to deal with people who are harsh and demanding. We've all had to deal with people who are controlling and people who are easily angered. Meekness is one of those words where sometimes it's easier to understand what it is when we see what it is not. A person who is harsh, a person who is angry, a person who is demanding and controlling is not one who is meek. Maybe one of the most difficult experiences that we can have is to have a boss or a supervisor, a person in authority in our lives, who makes everybody miserable. If not everybody, then at least you. People who are unapproachable, difficult, never know when or what to expect from them, if they're in a position of authority, can make life very unpleasant. But just people in general, if we meet someone who is aggressive, who's pushy, who is selfish, who is irritable, those qualities create barriers and separate people. And again, they're the qualities of those who are not meek. On the other hand, I've worked for bosses and supervisors in the past who were very approachable, who were even-tempered, who were in control of their responses, who didn't easily become angered. They were approachable, they were fair, they were thoughtful, and it made working with them and working for them much easier. When people have those qualities, we feel comfortable with them. And we find that those are the people that we choose to be our friends. The people who have those qualities of mildness, of gentleness, and consideration and thoughtfulness and so on. Those are the qualities that help to build strong marriages. Those are the qualities that are necessary for unity in a congregation, for people to express that in their relationships. So meekness is not something you define in one word. It's a set of qualities that establish a person as being one who is, as we say, mild and gentle, and one that we feel comfortable approaching, and one who will treat us decently and with kindness and consideration, even in difficult circumstances. Jesus Christ, here in this verse, declares his blessing on those who behave themselves, or those who have those qualities of character. So given the contrasting options here of weakness or harshness compared to gentleness and mildness, which do you think describes Jesus Christ? Was Jesus Christ a meek person? Again, we have to, when we ask that question, keep in mind the true definition of the word meek. Look at a statement that Paul made in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul, in this context, in fact, through most of the epistles of both 1 and 2 Corinthians, is dealing with people who are very difficult. He's dealing with people who are challenging his authority, people who reject his leadership, people who are saying very unpleasant things about him, about his appearance, about the way he deals with them. People are very disrespectful. And as Paul deals with those who are challenging his authority, he compares his approach to the approach that Jesus Christ had in his life. Chapter 10, 2 Corinthians, verse 1, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." We're not going to go further to see how Paul is dealing with that matter. We want to just focus here for the moment on the approach that Paul is taking. He compares what he's doing, the approach he wants to take in working with the people in those in that congregation, to the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. That statement alone should help us understand that being meek or being gentle does not mean to be weak. It's a strength of character, not a weakness of character. Sometimes we may not initially think of Jesus Christ as being one who was meek. But again, consider what that means in the context of the definitions we've already discussed. Christ had perfect self-control. He was not pretentious in any way in dealing with people. He was free from malice and from a vengeful spirit. One who does not have meekness would not have those characteristics. The quality of meekness was certainly necessary for Christ to have so that he would be willing to be a sacrifice on our behalf. He had to be willing to be mild and gentle and forgiving and thoughtful and considerate of our weaknesses and of our needs in order to become the sacrifice that he was. Look at what Christ said about himself in Matthew 11, verse 29. See, Christ is not asking us or telling us in Matthew 5 that we need to become anything different from what he already was. He's simply showing us the qualities that we need to have so that we can be like he is now, like he was as a man, that we can learn from him the qualities of being meek, of being gentle, of being mild. Matthew 11, verse 29, this is a familiar passage, I'm sure, says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus Christ was patient and gentle as a man. And he certainly is, has those characteristics as well as our Savior. There was no human being who had more power, more authority, and more reason to look down on others than Jesus Christ. He was the one who created mankind, and he is superior to any or all of us at all times. And yet, he never abused anyone, and he never abused his authority. It was put to the test many times. He was pushed and hassled and troubled by other people, and yet he maintained his strength of self-control, and he was gentle, and he was mild in his dealing with them. Now, Jesus Christ was a bold person. He was not one to be pushed around. He was not one to be manipulated. He was not a weak personality in any sense. Christ was very bold. He drove out of the temple and turned over the tables of the merchants who had turned God's house into a strip mall. He was angry with them. He ran them out of the temple. And yet, he was doing that out of his indignation of how they were treating the very house of God. At times he was angered by the harshness and the self-righteousness of the Pharisees, and he spoke sharply to them at times. He never backed down when he was challenged. And he openly taught what he knew would eventually lead to his death. But his personality, his character, his view of people, when he drove the, as it says, the money changers out of the temple, when he was angered at the Pharisees, he was upset by their actions, by what they did, but he continued to have patience and love and concern for the people themselves. So, a bold person who is bold in the right way and for the right reasons may still be one who is meek. It has to do with the underlying character of the concern, of the love, of the compassion that Christ had for mankind. And of course, we know that he died for the very people who tortured him and took his life. So his boldness is not to be confused with harshness. His boldness was an expression of his love for the Father, and it was always tempered or controlled by his character, by his meekness, by his love. Meekness is kind of a complicated thing, isn't it? It has different sides and aspects to it. It's not something that can be separated from other characteristics. You can't be consider yourself to, well, I have meekness, but I just have a short temper. Or I have meekness, but I don't have a lot of humility. I mean, these are interconnected qualities and traits. And meekness identifies a kind of a slice or maybe a combination of a number of different qualities that God is looking for in his children. And we'll see as we continue that when we have that quality, when we see it in Jesus Christ, when we emulate the love and the boldness that he had, then it will allow us to have a better understanding of God himself, of what God looks for in us, and a better relationship with one another. Consider Psalm 103, verse 8. See, this speaks of God in a more general sense, but it also illustrates this same quality that he has of mildness and of gentleness. Psalm 103, verse 8. Psalm 103 is one of those passages, one of those psalms you can turn to for encouragement and to be reminded of all that God offers to us, all that he shares with us. Bless the eternal, O my soul, it says in verse 1, that all that is within me bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not his benefits. He forgives your iniquities, he heals your diseases, redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Loving kindness and tender mercies are acts of gentleness and kindness. They're part of the grace of God in that we don't deserve that treatment. We don't deserve the tenderness and the loving kindness and the mercy that God shares with us. But it's an aspect of his character. And by learning the quality of meekness, we're learning to have those same qualities in ourselves. Whatever we see in God is something in terms of his character, the way he treats his people, his kindness and thoughtfulness and tenderness, those are things that we look to emulate and find a way to express in our lives and to build into our character. Verse 8 is what we wanted to actually focus on. It says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy." Again, you see, those are qualities of meekness. Do you ever think of God as being meek? Well, it is an aspect of his personality, of his character, of his being. And it's expressed by his patience, by his mercy, by his gentleness in our lives. I'm sure we all realize and consider frequently how thankful we are that God does not treat us or punish us in the way that we deserve. But rather, God is thoughtful. He understands our weaknesses, and he's willing to express to us that love and that thoughtfulness and that consideration. God and Jesus Christ have those qualities of meekness, and that's why we are to develop them as well. 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. This is an interesting chapter because it's actually a psalm of David. And if you compare what it says here in 2 Samuel 22, you'll see that it's almost word for word the same as what is in Psalm 18. It's certainly the same theme, and it's pretty much the very same words in this chapter compared to Psalm 18. So this is a psalm. Just happens to be in 2 Samuel. And in this psalm, David expresses his sense of relief, and he praises God for delivering him, for bringing David through a time of great difficulty. This was when he was, it says in verse 1, David spoke to the Lord the song, the words of this song, on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. David's life was very difficult at times, and he was literally hunted down by those who wanted to take his life. And this is a time when God had delivered him from one of those very dramatic and difficult situations, and he wrote this psalm of gratitude. I just want to drop down to verse 36. Psalm, or 2 Samuel 22, verse 36, where David writes, he says, "You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your gentleness has made me great." Again, it's an expression of a realization of God's compassion, his concern, his grace, his mercy, willingness to forgive and to provide for all of the needs that we have. Those are qualities. That gentleness of God is a quality of meekness. So when Jesus Christ says that we need to have that same quality ourselves, he's only speaking of or relating a little bit of what he is like and a little bit of what the Father is like. We're told then that in terms of this quality of life, that we are to seek it and to pursue the quality of gentleness or meekness. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We find here instruction from Paul to the young evangelist Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. Paul writes, "But you, O man of God, flee these things," the things that are listed above, the love of money and other false priorities. He says, "Flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness." Pursue gentleness. How do we pursue gentleness or pursue meekness in our lives? The word pursue is a pretty strong word. It's a verb, of course. It means, the word pursue means to do something with intense effort and a definite purpose or goal. to pursue something means to put forth an intense effort with a purpose in mind of what do we want to accomplish. So we pursue gentleness by realizing how important it is and by being conscious, making a conscious effort to control our reactions, to choose to be gentle, to choose to be thoughtful, especially in those moments when we would naturally tend to be abrupt or dismissive or harsh. That takes a lot of strength. You see, it's closely related to patience. It's closely related to humility, being willing to put others' needs above our own. It's closely related to other aspects of or qualities that are necessary for a good relationship. And it takes awareness and strength and effort to become a person who is gentle, who is meek. You see, meekness puts you in charge of your emotions. Meekness makes it possible for you to choose how you will respond. You may have read Stephen Covey's book, The Seven Laws, or The Seven... thank you. The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. I wanted to go to Seven Laws of Success, but it wasn't going the right direction. The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. The first habit that he describes is what he calls being proactive. And what he means by that is by to take charge of the way you respond to the stimulus in your life, the stimuli in your life, to choose the way you're going to respond rather than to have let something else cause you to respond in a certain way. Meekness is another way of describing being proactive. You choose how you will respond, and you choose to respond in a way that is gentle and thoughtful and mild instead of being harsh or upset. It requires exercise, self-control and wisdom. And of course, when you choose to respond that way, you're choosing to deal with the situation much more in the way that God would, rather than the way that we naturally would of ourselves. It's a great, it requires great strength to be meek. Turn to James chapter 1. We saw earlier that God is slow to anger. He's full of mercy and gentleness and kindness. And his gentleness establishes our lives, as we saw David relate back in 2 Samuel. James chapter 1, verse 19, says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." So this speaks again of the self-discipline and the control of one who chooses to be gentle, one who chooses to be mild, the self-control that's necessary in order to have the quality of meekness. We all know how difficult it is to listen or to be to slow down when we start to feel angry. It takes a lot of control to be willing to do that. And that kind of self-control is part of, it's an aspect of the kind of meekness that God is, that is being described or that we see as part of the necessary characters, or character or quality of one who is, who will be part of God's kingdom. The same thought or a similar thought is expressed in Proverbs 14, verse 17. Proverbs 14, verse 17. Proverbs have much to say about controlling our responses, controlling in particular the emotion of anger. Proverbs 14, verse 17 says, "A quick-tempered man acts foolishly." A quick-tempered man acts foolishly. We all know how uncomfortable it is to be around someone who's really angry, someone who's really agitated. And there are some people who just always seem to be upset about something. One who has a quick temper, one who is quick to become angry, does foolish things. We've all been there. We've all done something foolish in our anger. And I think we can all relate to that very simple and very true statement. Again, a person who is has a quick temper and quick to become angry is not portraying or expressing meekness. Verse 29 here in this same chapter, Proverbs 14:29, "He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly." The word impulsive literally means short of spirit. One who is quick to allow anger to take control and to do something that's impulsive, something that's without careful thought. So it's the same expression here, expressing the same lesson, that we must be in control of that response. And to a large extent, that is a matter of having the quality of meekness. Again, here on this same page, chapter 15, verse 1, a familiar proverb, but have you thought of it in terms of being meek? It says, "A soft answer, a gentle, mild, meek reply or answer turns away wrath." If we respond to someone who's angry with more anger, we're just both kind of standing across from each other, pouring gasoline on the fire. But what begins to bring things under control is meekness, a soft, a gentle, a mild response. Not easy to do. Not easy at all. In fact, it's something that we all fall short of at times. A harsh word stirs up anger. Remember, meek means to be not to be harsh. There's so many instances and so many ways in which we see the importance of having this quality of meekness. And as Paul told Timothy, we need to pursue gentleness. We need to set out to understand and realize the importance of having that kind of a strength and a quality in our lives. One of the most important aspects or results, I should say, of a group of people who all share that quality is that we draw closer together. And a group of people who share that quality of meekness, that group of people being God's church, are going to develop and grow in unity. Look at Galatians 5 for a moment, and let's just be reminded that gentleness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Gentleness is not just something that Mr. Rogers needs. I love Mr. Rogers. People have often made fun of his personality or his character. But I saw a video once. It was an outtake of one of his programs. And he had this little pup tent that was supposed to just snap into position when he opened up, put a lever or something, it was supposed to pop up. But nobody told the pup tent what it was supposed to do. So for about 5 minutes, he's wandering around, the stage with this pup tent. It keeps popping out of control and springing loose and collapsing. And the poor man is just trying to open this silly little tent. And not once did he say any word in anger. Oh my, look at this. Ooh, that's odd. And he just kind of walking around this thing and you just keep waiting for him to just get angry and throw it across the stage and stomp on it and cuss. Not that I would do that. But his character, what he was, what he portrayed is really who he was. And, you know, he's from around here. He's from these parts. And I think his reputation here was one of being a person who was genuinely, truly gentle and mild. And the children loved his approach. But gentleness, here in Galatians 5, we see the gentleness is a part of God's character. And it is something that all of us develop. It's in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And we also note that these qualities are, again, interconnected. They're not distinct or separate. To have this quality of gentleness requires the self-control. It requires the kindness and the goodness and the peaceful frame of mind. It's all woven together into God's character. And when we have His Spirit, those qualities of His character begin to grow and to develop in us. That's why it's called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so, gentleness is not just a nice thought. It's not just something that, again, that somebody else ought to have or that we admire in another person. It's a quality of character that God expects each of us to develop. Now, I think that to a certain level, we all have that quality. We all want to be in control. We all try to exercise kindness and goodness and peacefulness in our relationships. But I think we probably, if we're careful, if we look carefully, we'll see that we don't always react to situations in a way that is mild or gentle or thoughtful or self-controlled. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes of it again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. It's part of what draws us or allows us to draw together in unity as the church of God. Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Humility and meekness are characteristics of those who are walking according or worthy of the calling that we've been given. So together, these qualities help to establish the foundation of unity, so that we will be patient with one another, that we'll bear with one another in love, that we'll be endeavoring or striving or working to keep the unity of the Spirit. It's a result or a quality of one who has that meekness or that gentleness that is part of his life. So we see that this is a very practical part of the way that we live every day, the way that we respond to one another and to situations every day, and it is an expression of the very character and the mind of God Himself. Let's look at one other passage here that speaks of that, and the importance of that quality in our lives in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. The context begins in verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 says, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed." It doesn't seem right, does it, that sometimes when people behave the way they should, when people live the way they should, that others will persecute them or find fault in them for the way that they live. And it's not logical, but it can happen. If you should suffer for doing what's right, it says in verse 13, then you're blessed. And don't be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But it says, even if we find ourselves having to defend what we do by those who are not pleased with us for the way that we obey God, but sanctify or set apart the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a hope that is in you. This defense of ourselves and answering the questions is described here in a context where people are being somehow upset. People are upset for the kinds of choices you make to obey God. You may experience that when you don't take part in an office Christmas party, or when you don't take part in other things that people are doing because you are following or obeying God and understand as you understand He wants you to live. And people sometimes are offended, or they think that maybe you're trying to show them up in some way, or to be better than they are, and so they may not appreciate it. And so there may be times when we need to give an answer for why we live the way we do. And to do so is something that we do with meekness, it says, give an answer to those for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Even our approach with those who are choosing to trouble us should be done in a way that is in meekness and in fear, not in anger, not lashing back out at those who are in some way critical of us, but gently and in a positive way. Let me read this to you in the New International Version. I think it helps with the language somewhat. It says, in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Do this with gentleness and respect. So the point being that even when we are standing in defense of God's law and of God's way, that we do so in a way that others will receive or will see is done thoughtfully and carefully, not responding defensively or in any way showing any anger, but just simply expressing respectful of them and gentle in our approach and in our answer, so that we properly represent who God is and we properly represent what that hope is. We're certainly thankful for the truth that God has given to us, and we want to share it in a way that will help others. It's easy to get angry at someone and to maybe use God's truth as a weapon to condemn others in some way. But the approach here is one of being meek, of being thoughtful and of careful and treating others gently and with respect. So we see when we think about what meekness is, that it extends into many different areas of our lives. It is something that, a quality that God Himself has, and that Jesus Christ exhibited also. It's a quality that we are to grow in order to have the kind of mind toward one another that God has toward us. One of patience, one of love, one of long-suffering, one of forbearance, of gentleness, and of being mild. It's not a matter of being weak. In fact, it takes an incredible level of self-control and strength to properly express this quality of meekness. So we find in this passage in Matthew 5, this list of what is called Beatitudes, that Jesus is describing the character that we see He has, and that we see we need to develop in ourselves as well. These are the qualities of those that Jesus Christ is looking for and those who will share his kingdom with him. So today we've tried to stress the importance of meekness. Blessed are the meek. The strength that is necessary that will enable us to be mild and gentle, thoughtful and Christ-like and considerate in the relationships in our lives.